This evening we come to Psalm 104 as we come to the singing through the Psalter. Psalm 104, and we begin at verse 1 to verse 5. Psalm 104, verses 1 to 5.
Bless God, my soul, O Lord, my God,
let us pray together. Eternal God, as we read these psalms, we are reminded how exalted the psalmist spoke of God and how they exhorted themselves and us to raise our voices and to call upon God's name, not simply in prayer but in praise. And as we are reminded of these things this evening in this psalm that we have been singing, we are reminded that we should raise our voices because God is high and lifted up. We so often think that God is less than the scriptures emphasize him to be. We confess, O God, that we are too worldly minded and too earthly bound with all the things that occupy our times day by day. And all around us there are things clamoring for our attention. Good things and evil things alike surround us, and we cannot but respond to earthly living in an earthly manner. And yet we pray, Heavenly Father, that everything that we do naturally would be done spiritually, and that everything that we do spiritual would be natural to us, and that we would not, as it were, artificially divide the sacred from the secular, but that we would be like Christ Jesus, who, although he tabernacled amongst us in the likeness of men, yet also was still living in the bosom of the Father. And so as we gather again to hear God's word, we pray that we would understand that the God who speaks to us deserves to be heeded, and that his word is a message of grace and love intended to instruct us as God's children, to encourage us not only in our most holy faith, but in our daily faithfulness. And so this evening, help us, we pray, to come in the middle of this week and call upon God's name, seeking help always. We find that the psalmists were always confident that whilst God was to be praised, God was also to be feared and respected, and that they were worms of the dust. And we're reminded in one of the psalms, and by implication in many of them, what is man that God is mindful of him? When we look up into the heavens, we see that the very stars in the sky and the heavenly bodies are unclean in God's sight, and that they are all very small, and all the life of activity upon the face of our little world as the life of grasshoppers, little creatures hopping about, doing this and that, and a great deal of it, madness and fury, signifying very little of ultimate importance. And so we pray that we would value these times that are apportioned to us to be set apart from ordinary things and to be committed to heavenly things. And so we pray that we would be in the Spirit on this evening's hour, and that the Holy Spirit himself would indeed take everything that belongs to Christ and is needful for us, and that he would apply to us the message, whether we be strong in the faith or weak or strengthening, or whether we are weakening, whatever our condition. We know, O God, that there is a vast variety of degrees of holiness and unholiness, and there are degrees of faith. Some are strong in faith and some are weak in faith, and always faith needs instruction and encouragement. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit would take the things that belong to Christ and that he would reveal them to us, not as a new doctrine or even as a new insight, but rather as a deepening of understanding in things with which we are very familiar. We give thanks, Heavenly Father, that the gospel is clearly revealed and recorded in the Scripture, that it can never be undone, and that like everything else, what is written, and despite the arguments of men and the dislike even of those in the church to what the Scripture says in its fullness, yet what is written, all the Scripture, given by God's outbreathing, all the Scripture plays a part in equipping us for every good work, enabling us to stand against the wiles of the devil, and enabling us to stand for Christ in an ocean of unbelief and hostility, and enabling us, having done all, still to be standing. So we give thanks, O God, that the Scripture is open before us, and that we are open before the Scripture this evening. And we pray that our hearts would be opened more and more to be influenced, that the light of the gospel would shine ever deeper and ever more widely into our inner man. We pray for those who are not able to gather with us this evening. We pray for those who are not willing to gather with us this evening. We pray for the denomination that we belong to. We pray for the denominations of the world that try to be faithful to Christ in the midst of a day of backsliding and outright antagonism to the gospel. And from what we hear in various parts of the world, it seems to be the same, always the same, declining numbers. We know of some places where numbers are growing and there is encouragement. We think of places in the Middle East. We hear occasionally of reports in China even, and the underground Christian church there, perhaps over 1 million strong. And we bless God for these good reports that we hear from time to time. So help us now to pray for those for whom we should pray. We tend to be too parochial. We tend to be so limited in our understanding and in the breadth and the height and the length and the depth of our prayers. And we confess, O God, that we pray about things that interest us. So we pray that everything concerning God's kingdom would interest us. some to a greater degree than others, but all of interest and all upon our hearts, that God would bless the work of his hands. Help us now to listen and to be pleased to be in God's house once again and amongst those who do set time aside and to hear God's word and to sing his praises. And so we seek all things for God's glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to read now in Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, and we shall read through the whole of this chapter 2 in Philippians. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels or compassions, inner compassions and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For this same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord, with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. And so on. Amen. Now, we have some notices. The next Lord's Day, of course, the 9th of January, the morning service will be recorded at the usual hour, for the usual hour of 10:30, and then the 4:30 service in the afternoon. here in Pitt Street, God willing. And then the following Wednesday, that is the 12th of January, at 7 p.m. In Pitt Street again. So these are the notices that I have jotted down, and we shall now continue in Psalm 104. From verse number 6, we sing to verse number 9. Psalm 104, 6 to 9.
How does it come with us?